experiences with other women. Try and hear about yours. Try and talk about those aspects of our lives that we share, and places where our experiences are different. I have been thinking a lot lately. I guess I've been thinking a lot for a long time about the fact that at the age of 37, I have lived alone for 3 years of my life. And if that sounds weird, it's even weirder when I tell you that I like it. It's a mystery, in a sense. Part of the answer, okay, the first 18 years of my life, I didn't live alone for the same reasons that most people under 18 don't live alone. And I had a baby at 18. So for the next, 14 years, I was living first with that child and his father, and then alone with that child, and then with that child and the man who became my second husband, and then with those people and the two babies I had. And at 32, for a lot of reasons, I felt a real strong need to live alone. My marriage was breaking up. My husband wanted custody of my kids. And so 5 years ago, I started living alone for the first time. And it was very frightening at first. It was very frightening at first. I sometimes imagined scary things being about to go on in my own apartment. I heard noises at the door all the time. And eventually, I got over the fear, and I really came to love it. I came to love it even when it was most lonely. And then for reasons, mixed, muddled reasons, some of them good and some of them maybe not good, I started living with someone. And it was not a very good thing. And because it wasn't good, because I had lived with people all my life, and because some of the time it had been a good thing and some of the time not, I had that subject on my mind a lot last November when we did Women's Survival Day here. And I did a program on living alone. It's short. It's 20 minutes. I wanted to play it for you today. But I wanted also to tell you what it was about and how I came to be doing it and what my own perspective was on it. I'm not living alone now either, by the way. I'm not living with the person I was living with when I made this. And the subject is still on my mind a lot. It still seems to me complex. The reasons that we live with people are complicated, and the reasons that we live alone are complicated, and we get things out of both of them. And it seems to me I've spent a lot of my life torn. I saw Woody Allen's movie Annie Hall a couple of weeks ago, and at the end of it he talks about a man who goes to a psychiatrist and says he wants to talk to him about his brother who thinks he's a chicken. And the psychiatrist says, why don't you have him institutionalized? And Woody Allen says, well, we need the eggs. And he's making an analogy between that and relationships where we live with people or are with people. And it seemed to me that was some of it. I want to play this tape, and then I want to talk with some of you about being alone and not being alone, and why, and how, and what compromises we have to make each way. This is a program called Women Alone Speak Out. Living alone and how they feel about living alone.
Well, I can say, it isn't a calamity that people think you live alone because you're hard to get along with. That's what they said to me. I said, that isn't true. I live alone by choice.
So funny that I hide it behind a book.
You're listening to Women Alone Speak Out, an anthology of personal testimony and poetry with music produced for Women's Survival Day by Judy Pasternak.
Hi, I'm Minnie Marbeat. I live alone with my cat. She follows me around wherever I go. If I cook dinner, I cook my dinner and I have my breakfast in the morning. And then I go out during the day. I come down here or I go to the Hudson Center. I work in the kitchen there. I help the cook and I give out some bread and butter to the people when they want coffee in the morning, cake, an oatmeal.
What do you do here?
Here I do some embroidery. All kind of things that there is to do, what I can do. That's all that passed my time. I'm 85 years old now. I'm not too young.
How long have you lived alone?
Since 1969. I've been alone before that. And so I get along.
I'd like to hear what's the hardest part of being alone.
Well, I get very lonesome at times. So I put the television on. And I watch my stories. Now, this afternoon when I go home, I watch Another World and The Edge of Night. And then whatever picture comes along, I watch it and I sit there and I crochet. And sometimes I sew. I pass my time that way.
Is there anything about it that you think is good? Is there anything that's nice about being alone?
Well, first of all, it's nice to be alone because you can do whatever you want in your own home. Because if you live with somebody, you don't feel right. You always feel in the way, and I'm that way. I don't know if other people do. But I feel in the way. I feel that I can't do whatever I want, and I'm annoying people. That's what I feel. So I feel I'd rather be alone. That's it.
Unreconstructed solitary. Often these winter nights, I dine at plastic counters in the company of mumbling old men. Liver steak and onions, two veg, bread and butter, $1.60. 10 minutes and $2 with tax and tip if I drink water, free. Later at meetings of this or that collective, friends ask if I've eaten. Yes, I answer, afraid they'll ask where.
We were talking about living alone and how you feel about it.
Well, I have no choice. I've got to make the best of it, right? What can I do?
Well, you said you wouldn't want to get married now either.
No, I would not at this age. If I didn't get married when I was young, when I would really have liked to, you know, I always figured walking down the aisle with my dad. And it just didn't work out. I was engaged for 7 years, and I kept putting the wedding off every year. Then when he went into the service, he got married while he was in the service. That was the end of my romance. And I guess I got bitter, you know. Then I figured every guy's alike. So I never married after that. In fact, I don't think I wanted to. Although I had plenty of opportunities, you know.
I've always been independent, and I intend to be. Even if I got married, I'd wear part of the pants anyway. But, like they say, when you're in love is one thing, you know. You could put up with an awful lot. I've seen some women take some abuse, and they come crawling back for more. But I wasn't really sure, and I didn't want my marriage to go on the rocks, so to speak. I didn't want to send in divorce. So I want to be real sure. But there's no such thing. You have no guarantee. It's a gamble like anything else. But I was very lost without him because he was my companion, you know. Any place we'd go, I always had an escort. And now you're afraid to go out of the house because you, and if you can't see yet, it's very difficult getting around. And the way these kids run around today, they're like fawns. They're so swift. They can knock you over just running past you. But I try to keep a happy frame of mind. And like I say, I'm not rich, but what do I need? A roof over my head? I can only eat 3 squares a day, and I can only wear one outfit a day. I don't need that much clothes. So the only thing that I don't like today is these rents are so high. And then when you get a place, they want to know how much you got, what your income is every year. You got all these papers to fill out. And when you can't see, it's very hard, you know. And not only that, I have friends I would like as neighbors. But they can't move next door to me because they either have too much money or they're not seniors. Now, what's the difference? Years ago, you rented an apartment. You went in, you looked at the place if you liked it. You rented it and that was it. There was no business of this new lease every year. And I rented my place for $90 when I first went in about 7 years ago. Now I'm paying $140 for the same thing. That's a $50 raise inside of 5 or 6 years. I don't think that's right. And I'm not working. If I have any savings, well, so I worked for it. Am I not entitled to enjoy a little of it? Must I always be shelling out to doctors and rent and just because I have that saving? I could just as well go out and spend it and go on Medicare. I mean, on welfare. But I don't want that because I've been independent all my life and I want to stay that way. But it looks to me like the government really wants us all to go on welfare. Because the way the... If they would only roll all the prices back on everything, that means wages too, so that they could keep our rents down and the food prices would go down, then it wouldn't cost the government so much to keep us going. Like I say, today everything's money. Who's got time for romance? You're worrying where your next rent is coming from, you know?
Got a house on a hill, and it's constantly filled with a number of passing acquaintances. But I'm tired and spent from all the friendships well meant, and the rent's getting high on my maintenance law. Why should I worry about leaving them there when nobody's home when you need them? Even after you love them and feed them, say do not disturb, this lady's not home.
My name is Ella Levine. I'm 40 years old, and for most of my life, I always lived with somebody. For the first 18 years, I lived with my parents, and for the next 17 years, I lived with my husband. For the past 4 years, I've been living by myself, and I love it.
How did you come to be living alone?
Well, my marriage broke up, and for various reasons, it was more sensible for me to leave than for my husband to leave, so I left him and my 3 children.
You left them in his custody?
In his custody, yeah.
Do you get any kind of alimony?
No, I don't.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a computer programmer.
You said you love living alone. Can you say why?
Well, I wasn't always looking for peace and quiet, so it's not exactly that. I don't have a lot of peace and quiet in my life. I spend a lot of time with the kids, and we have good times together. I take classes and things that interest me, like dance. Yeah, I take a couple of dance classes a week. I'm thinking of going back for my master's. That's a structure that I sort of got out of structures when I started living alone, but I'm not completely down on structures. But it would be a big decision to make if I decided to do it. I think what I like is taking care of myself. I like that I don't waste a lot of energy trying to get other people to do things that I want them to do to make my life better. I used to waste a lot of energy in planning vacations trying to get my husband to arrange the kind of vacation I wanted. Now I arrange whatever kind of vacation I take, I arrange for myself. The vacation I just took, I took by myself. I took a class in sailing, which was really something. It's the first vacation I ever took sort of by myself. That is, I registered for a class in vacation cruise sailing, and there were other people in the class, but I did it on my own. I didn't have the emotional support of what I had in my other two vacations, my other two great vacations, which I took with my family. One, we went to Europe, and the other one, we rented this fantastic house in Vermont. I had a swimming pool on the grounds, and the first morning I was there, somebody comes running, knocking on my door, saying, all the water's gone out of the swimming pool. Previously, I would have gone running, knocking on my husband's door and said, Bill, all the water's gone out of the swimming pool. What should we do? It's just been, for 4 years, a very different feeling from the rest of my life of being the person who puts the water back in the swimming pool. The thing about those two vacations, basically, was that they were my ideas. And I had the idea, and I took care of seeing that they happened instead of having the idea and trying to get somebody else to see that they happened. And also the day-to-day kinds of things. Something has to be fixed. I either fix it or I don't fix it. But I know that if it's not fixed, it's because I didn't fix it, not because somebody else doesn't love me or something. It's just because I didn't do it. And I either live with the discomfort of not having taken care of something, or I take care of it.
Is there anything you don't like about it, about being alone? Is there anything hard?
Yeah. Sometimes you want to share things with people. You want to have them there when you want them there. And sometimes when somebody stays overnight at my house, I really like it. It's nice to find somebody there in the morning. And then when they leave, that's nice too.
I'm relighting my fuses and tending to my bruises, trying to find my direction, Lord.
2 days in bed with the flu. 2 days of sweat and silence and fantasies of a departed lover in half-waking dreams of hands and breasts. 2 days of fetching blankets and throwing them off as sunlight startles me from dreamless sleep. 2 days of tea and whiskey half-consciously prepared and drunk. 2 days of no hand but my own to cover me and comfort me and pour my tea and consummate my dreams. 2 days of sweat and silence, an age of longing, and one poem.
I'm Evan Morley, and I'm intrigued by the title of your Speak Out, Women Alone. I thought about it the other day, and I remembered when I was in high school, the greatest expectation of my life was to be alone. And independence was such a big word. It was very romantic, and of course it would be New York. And I came to New York and lived alone in a $28 a month cold water flat. But it was thrilling, and one of my relatives visited me and, of course, was appalled. And the more appalled they got, the happier I was. I was living in the East Side. I used to live in the East 60s. Once I had an apartment in the East 70s, East 60s, and the East 50s. In the first 6 years I lived in New York, I moved around a lot, mostly because of the buildings were being torn down or
there was a cheaper or better place around the corner. And I was always very proud of the places I lived in, and it was being alone. But I've lived in now this present apartment for 11 years. After about 3 months of living alone and having friends visit me and lovers, I began to get terror and dread. And I didn't realize it was from being alone. A friend of mine said, well, you must go to a therapist. I think we all did that in the late 50s. So I went. And one of the problems that the therapist did not focus on was being alone. So we focused on a whole lot of other things, and I managed to maintain my position of being alone. I want to distinguish sort of between being independent and being alone and not having a part of a community in which you're in, because I've always had a community in which I've been in. As a matter of fact, my best friend who lived around the corner from me in a similarly situated but different layout cold water flat moved to the village when I did. She's around the corner now too. There were always a lot of men and women that I would see. And even when I came to New York and started out, of course I was a lesbian, so I zoomed down to the lesbian bars, first crack out of the box. And I met women with whom I've been friendly now. It's 20 years, 1956. So some of the women that I met in those lesbian bars became my great friends. I went to their house, they went to my house, where I will tell you again, I lived alone. And we've maintained our friendship. So I don't really think that I have had a sense of being alone, because my very best friend from school and I have hung around together sort of on and off for 20 years. We share some of the same work. We're in the same feminist organization, New York Radical Feminists. We have the same feminist concerns. We have some of the same living concerns. At various points, people have lived with me. A lover has lived with me on occasion. A friend has lived with me on an occasion. That's just, you live with somebody you don't live with. It doesn't really change anything basic. It doesn't change anything basic about my personality. I will say that sometimes living with a person, a lover or a friend, can be an awful hassle. And sometimes being separated from a lover or a dear friend when you're alone can be awfully painful. So the hassles and the pain kind of, they cancel each other out. And then there are all the other good times. I spend a lot of time in my house. The past 2 years I've been working freelance as an editor and writer. I like my house. I've got things that I've had for 20 years and things that I just bought. And I go from one little room to the other, and I'm sort of, the phone rings, people come by. People like my house too. And some people don't like my house. But I'm very rooted here. I thought of what you asked me about this, and I wanted to think of, well, why is it that this has been my experience? Did I start out with something that let me do it? And I think I answered that when I said, in high school, in the early 50s, the late 40s, early 50s, the biggest thing for all of us was to be alone and independent. Now, I know some of my friends from school, Agnes and Beverly, before they got married, and they were destined to get married because they wanted to do that, they had their own apartments for 3-4 years before they got married. And it was a thrilling thing. Then, of course, I know I talked to Agnes just before she got married. This is a friend from high school. And she felt alone. She wanted to raise a family, and that was right and proper. But I never wanted to raise a family. As I said, I'm a lesbian, and the only similar form of coupling is to live with someone. But again, being here 20 years, a lot of my friends will live with 4 or 5 different people for 2 years at a time, and there seems to be so much trouble. Your apartment is never really your own. It's always part of something shared, which does have a lot of pain when it breaks up. Oh, there's another thing. Being alone requires a lot of economic independence. I mean, economic independence is the extent of your rent, and that's the bottom line. And if you're worried about your economic prospects, and I guess I really never have been, but I've always had a job, In the beginning, it wasn't very good, and only lately has it been quite good. That gave me a continuity, so it made my home not a fearful place. I knew I could stay here, I could be here, I could add to it. I had a little bit to have people over. There's that. And then again, there's something in my personality also. I must tell you that. I mean, not everything is economically determined. There's something in my personality that can combine being alone and yet being with others. And it's worked for me. And whenever I feel very upset or lonely, people come over. And I hope that I extend the same amount of happiness and courtesy to a lover in my house as I extend to myself. And I'm not saying that my experience of living alone would not change. I may live with someone, but you're asking me what my experience has been, and that's what it has been. I really want also to underscore the importance of my friends, my women friends. Throughout these 20 years, it's been a great glue to keep your feelings together, your thoughts going forward, your activities sorted together. Without that, no economic security could make living alone really worthwhile. You'd just be isolated. So being alone is really just having an apartment alone with just my name on the lease.
Women Alone Speak Out was produced by Judy Pasternak, music by Melissa Manchester and Phoebe Snow. In an excess of modesty, by the way, I did not identify the poetry in that program. The poetry was mine. This is Judy Pasternak, and I'm back talking about being alone and not being alone. That program, at the time, as I said, I wasn't living alone when I produced it, and I was kind of hungering to, and between that and wanting to contradict a sense that women alone are unhappy. It was kind of dedicated to the joys of living alone. On the other hand, I have a couple of songs here that are dedicated to the conflicts. One of them by Hazel. Well, the song's by Alice Gerard. It's sung by Alice and Hazel Dickens, and it's about not being alone and wishing one was, and the other one is about some of the pain of being alone. This is Hazel Dickens and Alice Gerard.
In the early morning light, I creep on down the stairs. Hush, you float, keep you squeaking down. And the smell of good hot coffee and the silence all around. Nothing but my thoughts and the stirring of a song to break the sad, sweet feeling, Lord, of being all alone. And if I'm very still, I can drain this holy hour, and if I'm lucky, stretch it out to two. Before the world comes crashing and down the stairs comes true, and smiles and tears and ratty hair, and I can't find my shoes. And I don't know, Lord, I don't know if I can make it through. But I hope you know how much I love you. 'Cause I guess it ain't showing much these days. Picnic days and daisy chains, but come on, let's all go into town today. I'll help you make your bed and put your clothes away. guess I'm gonna stay. So come on now, your mama's gonna stay. In the early morning light, I creep on down the stairs. Would you care to stay till sunrise? It's completely your decision. It's just that going home is such a ride, such a ride. Going home is such a ride. Going home is such a ride. Going home is such a low, lonely ride. Would you hang your denim jacket near the poster by Picasso? Do you sleep on the left side or the right, or the right? Would you mind if I leave on the light? Would you mind if it isn't too bright? Now I need the window open, so if you happen to get chilly, there's this coverlet my cousin hand crocheted. Do you mind if the edges are frayed? Would you like to unfasten my braid? Shall I make you in the morning a cup of homemade coffee? I will sweeten it with honey and with cream. When you sleep, do you have dreams? You can read the early paper, and I can watch you while you shave. Oh God, the mirror's cracked. When you leave, you don't have to answer that at all. The bathroom door is just across the hall. You'll find an extra towel on the rack, on the paisley pattern papered wall. There's a comb on the shelf. I papered that wall myself, that wall myself. Would you care to stay till sunrise? It's completely your decision. It's just the night cuts through me like a knife, like a knife. Would you care to stay a while and save my life? Would you care to stay a while and save my life? I don't know what made me say that. I've got this funny sense of humor. You know I could not be downhearted if I tried, if I tried. It's just that going home is such a ride. Going home is such a ride. Going home is such a ride. Isn't
that was Dory Previn. I think obviously that was Dory Previn. Nobody else sings like that. Nobody else sings that kind of song. I wanted to talk with some of you about being alone and about not being alone. The phone number for talking on the air for calling here and being part of this program is 371-5206. And I would like to talk with you. As I said before I started the tape and before I played those records, I'm not living alone right now. And I like the way I'm living. In fact, I like it, I think, better in a lot of ways than any of the times I've lived with anybody. I remember the years that my little kids were little as pretty happy, but when I look at pictures of myself compared to pictures of myself now, it seems to me I'm a much more relaxed looking person, at least now. But I also, I was often lonely when I lived alone. That is not something I could deny. I was just also happy. I remember once, it was a Friday night, and I was not only living alone, but there was nobody in the world at that point who was supposed to spend Friday nights with me. And I was real unhappy about that. I had nothing to do that night. And I was sitting in this apartment, which was the first space that I had ever made mine, and just mine in the whole world. And I made up a crossword puzzle for the newsletter of New York Radical Feminists, which I belonged to at the time. And I'd been doing crossword puzzles all my life, and I had always wanted to do one, make one up, and I had never done it. And the first couple of drafts of it were literally blotted with tears. I was so blue, and at the same time, underneath it all, there was just this really nice sense that I was in my own space doing something that was really important to me, that was fun, that I had made up all by myself. And I liked it. And I think that was generally the way I felt. I had a really strong possessive sense about my house, which I sharing your house with somebody else is just different if you like them, if you get along well with them, if things are nice. The sharing is a really nice thing. It's a very rich thing. On the other hand, possibly because I've only done it for 3 years, that sense of ownership that I had of my own place was something that was real special to me. There were a lot of things, both about when I was alone and when I've been living with people, that seemed to me peculiar to women's experience. Certainly the fear that I felt when I was first living alone. The very first couple of nights that I spent alone in my own apartment, I couldn't sleep for terror. I had a mattress that was just on the floor, and the door in that apartment, the front door, was a one-room apartment. The front door was very close to the bed, and it was also pretty high off the sill. There was about a good inch of clearance that you could see out into the hall. And for the first couple of nights, I would think I heard noises in the hall all night, and I just kept swiveling around on the bed to look under that sill and see if there were feet out there. And then as I got to feeling more secure in the apartment, I got to feeling more frightened out of it. I got nervous on the streets late at night, which I was 32 then, and I had been running around in New York all my life and never been afraid on the streets. But I started feeling afraid on the streets, and as time went on, I started feeling afraid earlier and earlier in the evening, and finally I was having trouble going home alone from work at 5:30 in the afternoon. And as a matter of fact, the way that stopped was something I think could only happen to a woman. I fell in love. And suddenly I felt like I knew my place in the world again, and I wasn't afraid. And although the relationship, which was extremely turbulent, was also extremely short-lived, by the time it was over, I had gotten used to being alone in the world. And that whole thing had only taken, that whole process had only taken a couple of months, and after that, I was really pleased. Or if you like, I was alone. I wasn't sharing. I was sharing my life in many ways with my friends. I was sharing my life on weekends with my kids, who were coming to be with me on weekends. They still do. But the core of my life belonged just to me. And it seems to me that in that sentence is both the pleasure and the pain in being alone. I would really like to hear from other women out there about their own relationship to that, their own feelings about what it means to be alone, or where it's so hard that you can't do it, or where it's so rich to be with other people that you want to. The phone number is 371-5206. The one living situation I've never been in, I have never lived just with a roommate, with someone to whom I didn't have very deep ties. And I've never wanted to either. My feeling about it always was that if I wasn't going to get the rewards of being with someone I had that kind of rich connection with, that I didn't want to be intruded on by another person. I have, in all the time I was alone, that never seemed to me as if it would be a reasonable trade-off. I have lived, as I said, I've lived alone with my kid. I have lived with family. I've lived semi-communally for a while. When I was married, there was another family living with us, and we were trying to share everything. And I have to say that that really didn't work out at all. And part of the reasons it didn't work out was I was never able to get past my own possessiveness about the things and people who were mine. But I still somehow feel that that's really the way that people ought to live. And that if I could get it together, I would be able to do that some way. WBAI, you're on the air.
Hi. I was just struck by what you said, and I thought that I was, this is the person that is speaking at the same time on the radio?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I lived alone in an apartment in New York a few years ago and couldn't take possession of the, couldn't take possession in the sense of my apartment until 3 or 4 months after I'd lived there. I slept on the couch, not really feeling that the bed or the house or the space was mine.
Yeah, I had that too. Can you talk a little louder?
Sure. And I also have the dichotomy that you were describing about the pleasure pain of being with someone.
I'm sorry, but can you turn your radio down before you go on? Because it's making it hard for us to hear you.
It's off.
It's off?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
And I had been married. I was divorced, and I lived alone in an apartment or two by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm married again, but my husband goes away on business trips. And I find it incredible that I feel like I own myself more now that I am. It's horrible to say because it's not very liberated, but it's nice being married because there's a lot of nice things, a lot of nice companionship, which I had too when I lived with him.
Mm-hmm.
But being married is somewhat more, I guess it feels binding. It feels very true. It feels faithful. But being alone, because he goes away a lot on business trips, makes me have a day, a life, a space to myself, and it's a very liberating feeling, liberating in the old new sense, not necessarily male-female dichotomy.
Yeah, yeah. I think a lot of us live in conflict about that. I know that when I was a housewife with a lot of kids, I used to cherish my commute to work because it was one of the few spaces where I wasn't surrounded by people who wanted things from me. You know, when you said about when your husband goes on business trips, I had this sense of what it used to feel like to me when I left the house and went to the train.
That was your time.
Yeah. Yeah, I used to get...
binge on it.
Yeah.
I find that I work in my own house. I have my own business. And it frees me, of course, from the strictures of 9, 10, 11, 12, up till 5 o'clock, that mm-hmm. kind of thing, and then rush at 8:30 and rush at 5:30. And because he doesn't come home to eat right now because he's away and all those things, I find I can structure my day, both terrifying, horrifying, and marvelous, any way I choose.
Yeah.
And it's frightening because I think, oh, God, I'm just frittering away the time. But I don't. I mean, you spoke about the crossword puzzle, and that struck so home because I like crossword puzzles. But it's also other people looking. I mean, a parent figure, the old-style auto. The mean parents of old
mm-hmm.
said, what the hell do you think you're accomplishing doing a crossword puzzle, for Christ's sake? If you have your own apartment, do something valuable. And I sit and I do my business, whatever that, you know, what that entails. And then I also write things that are maybe not publishable or maybe publishable, but it feels intensely satisfying.
Yeah. Yeah. I also, by the way, I'm also working freelance right now. And I've said this before on this program, I have a lot of problems structuring my day by myself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I manage to do radio work fine, because that's an outside structure.
Right.
But, and in fact, even there, when I know way in advance that I'm going to be doing a produced program, it usually gets produced at the last minute. You know, it's only when there's time pressure on me that I'm really able to organize myself to get it together. So that's been...
I wonder. I mean, I know that to be an impetus for 99.8% of the people in the world. And I wonder why it has to be that we're... I think it's somewhat childish in some sort of obscure way that, you know, you're not going to make me. I'm not going to do it. All right, I'll do it.
I don't think it's... I think childish, it seems to me, is exactly the wrong word in the sense that kids don't seem to have any problems being self-starting on the things that they that are meaningful to them.
Yeah, that maybe you're right. That's,
you know,
true. It's adults who have the problem.
Yeah, I think we get a lot of that whipped out of us one way or another. I think in a highly structured society, it's real dangerous for people to be able to just do whatever they want. And I think there are a lot of things that lean on us and stop us from that. And more, I think, if we're women.
Much more.
Yeah. I the day that I did the program about that turned out to be a program on work and self-starting, there were a lot of people calling. A lot of women knew that problem. And some of them, by the way, had licked it, which was real nice to hear. I have hopes that I will. I tell myself, I'm only 37.
Go Gananoff, start at 35.
Yeah.
But, yeah. No, I think that old poem, every day and every way I'm getting better and better, even if other people don't see it in you or in me or in umpteen plus two people I know, doesn't mean that inside themselves there isn't some kind of change. Because I feel that it really is delicious. I wake up and I do a number of things, writing and art things and creative things that I don't know how meaningful it would be to my father. I'm sure he wouldn't give me an A+ on living.
Mm-hmm.
But I do. Right now, I think when my husband is home, it's one thing. And I'm a different, I do different things. But now, I just feel very much full of a sort of confidence that says, you know, I'm alive, it's valuable, I'm using parts of my gray cells in ways that have never been used before, that perhaps other people haven't thought of before, and I can benefit other people in some ways, and I could make my day and my week and my month, my year be good.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like you really, in a sense, have it made. You have a lot of space to yourself, and you're still with somebody that you get that kind of companionship from, too. I have another call coming in here, which I would like to take. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
WBAI, you're on the air.
Yes, I have never lived alone. And this summer I have the opportunity to, I'm a poet, and I have the opportunity to spend 2 weeks at a house, and I'm really very scared.
You're going to be all by yourself?
No, I'll have a friend there. But it's in a pretty isolated spot, although it's supposed to be really beautiful, and just the right thing for what I need.
Mm-hmm.
But I am talking myself into it because it's right, but it's just very scary for me.
Is it like physically scary? I mean, I've spent summers out on Long Island during, this was mostly when I was married, during the week often my husband wasn't there and he came out on weekends, and it's a small cottage and it doesn't have the kind of security I'm used to in New York in terms of locks. And I used to really get physically nervous.
Yes.
Is it that's frightening you?
Exactly what it is. How did you overcome that?
I don't know that I ever did. I just really liked being out there during the day, and I lived with the fear in the night. One summer, a friend of mine was staying in a nearby cottage, and I think we both walked each other home about four times, neither one of us wanting to leave the other one vulnerable to this phantom mad person who was presumably lurking in the dark.
Right.
This is interesting. I have not stayed alone in that cottage since I started living alone. And I wonder if my feelings about it would be a little different now. Do you mind if I ask how old you are?
I'm 36.
Yeah, yeah, and you've never lived alone.
No.
Well, I think the only way to overcome that fear is to do it.
Yeah.
I think that women are real scared of being alone. Did you hear the tape I played before?
I didn't hear all of it. I was working, and I just got home in time to hear a little bit of it, and it was really wonderful.
Well, there was one woman on it who's lived alone all her life. She was 40-odd when the tape was made, 41 or so. And she's a friend of mine, and she seems not to have any of those fears. And I don't understand it. I really don't. I don't know, because most women I know are afraid of being alone, and what it comes down to is that some of us are afraid of it and do it anyway, and some of us are too afraid to do it.
Yeah. I think that what you said about from the city to the country is a very big thing, because that's the situation for me. And going to the country, one would think that the city is so much more dangerous, but that, because I'm used to the city,
sure,
feel the other
sure
way.
Yeah, I think that's a separate thing too. I think those of us who are city people tend to see the country as kind of alien, which is, by the way, parenthetical, but it's a scary thought by itself that we are so alienated from nature.
Oh yes.
That the crickets.
Right.
You know, when I'm out there in the cottage, aside from the terrors of you know, my fears about this mad person waiting outside this flimsy door, I gotta admit that I'm pretty scared of the large insects that are trying to force their way in too. and I, you know, this is me. I'll walk around New York City at 3 o'clock in the morning pretty fearless. Well, relatively fearless.
It's very good to hear that your programs, plural.
Thank
you. I've certainly enjoyed this one. Got a lot out of the talk with you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling. Bye-bye. Yeah, the phone number here is 371-5206. And I am trying to explore that our feelings about being alone. I have to say, that one of the problems about that fear of being alone, at least for me and I think for a lot of women, is that it taints our intimate relationships, because as long as we're afraid of being alone, sometimes it's hard to tell whether we're living with people for what I would consider the right reasons, for the joy of that person's unique companionship, or whether we're living with them to shut away fear of being alone. WBAI, you're on the air. Hello? Hello, this is WBAI, you're on the air. There is no person on that phone line. WBAI, you're on the air.
Hi. First of all, let me just say I'm nervous as all hell. I've never done this before.
Well, welcome. That's all right.
I was just listening to your program. I'm a young woman. I'm only about 22. And I've been living alone for 2 years now. And, well, now I have a roommate, in all truth. But my feeling towards it is that it's something that anyone, any woman, should definitely go through. Maybe not for a very prolonged period of time, like over a year. But if you're any kind of a creative person, I think it's essential. You know, I mean, I've had to deal with a lot of fear and a lot of anxiety.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I would take away that if you're any kind of a creative person. This is
I know. Maybe that's not a very good phrase. But.
This is WBAI in New York. I think that I think that my own creativity, for sure, was only a lot of it was only discovered after I was living alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that if I think when we find things in ourselves when we have that kind of space, when you. Was it hard for you to decide to live alone?
Well, no. As a matter of fact, it was something I just had to do because I was living with someone, and then they moved out, and I had just recently broken up with a man I was I had a relationship with for a few years,
mm-hmm.
and it was something I had to do. I had no one else to live with. And I was kind of pushed into this position. For the first time in my life, I was supporting myself, working on a full-time basis. And at first, I was just overwhelmed by the amount of time and space that I had to myself. And sometimes, you know, realizing that I had this huge responsibility to take on just frightened me. It was like, oh, well, should I be doing this? Or, you know, I mean, I think, I should have a lover helping me out or something.
Mm-hmm.
I had a struggle with that sense for a while. So, I don't know, things are coming along okay now, I guess.
What made you get a roommate?
Oh, well, my friend came back.